From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is studying the book of Judges, an unhappy record of the failings of Israel after God had given them the promised land. Judges is a history of apostasy, bondage, repentance, deliverance through a divinely appointed judge, and then repeated apostasy. Today, Dr. Cairns takes as his text chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, a passage containing the account of two men, Tola and Jair, whose ministry is summed up very briefly. Yet, in spite of their seeming insignificance, these men have important spiritual lessons for believers in our day. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, smallness is not an obstacle to usefulness for God. For as we'll see, greatness in the work of God does not depend on the greatness of men, but on the greatness of God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce a message entitled, The Great Ministry of Little Men. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Acquiring Perseverance. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. We are not to expect to win victories for the Lord Jesus by a single blow. Evil principles and practices die hard. In some places, it takes years of labor to drive out even one of the many vices which defile the inhabitants. We must carry on the war with all our might, even when favored with little manifest success. Our business in this world is to conquer it for Jesus. We are not to make compromises, but to exterminate evils. We are not to seek popularity, but to wage unceasing war with iniquity. Infidelity, popery, drink, impurity, oppression, worldliness, error, these are all to be put out. The Lord our God can alone accomplish this. He works by his faithful servants, and blessed be his name, he promises that he will so work. Jehovah thy God will put out those nations before thee. This he will do by degrees, that we may learn perseverance, may increase in faith, may earnestly watch, and may avoid carnal security. Let us thank God for a little success, and pray for more. Let us never sheathe the sword till the whole land is won for Jesus. Courage, my heart. Go on little by little, for many littles will make a great whole.
Soldiers on the cross, shall the trumpet call away. Soldiers of the heavenly King, who faithful stand through everything, sound forth and let
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs at freepres.org. That's ltbs at freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Returning this evening once again to the book of Judges, to a very brief passage in chapter 10. The opening verses of Judges chapter 10, reading together from verse 1 to the end of verse 5. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth-Jair, unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Camon. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel. As I was reading this portion just now, it occurred to me that there is always an after when you deal with an Abimelech. Last week and the week before, we were looking at this prince of evil. In many ways in Scripture, one of the outstanding foreshadowings of Antichrist. A man of immense satanic power. A man who rose to crush every vestige of godliness in Israel. A man who seemed to threaten the very existence of the truth of God. When the Church of Christ is going through periods when her enemies seem to be cock-a-hoop, when it appears that the forces and furies of evil are unstoppable, we come almost to the place of giving up hope and thinking this is the last word. But you know, the devil never does have the last word. No matter how powerful the enemies of the cross of Christ, no matter how numerous, there is always an afterword. Abimelech's reign was not very long, only 3 years. He was dead and gone, buried and gladly forgotten. But the work of God went on. Those of you who have been with us in Sabbath mornings will remember for 2 mornings we were looking at the sufferings of God's people described toward the end of Hebrews chapter 11. In the period of time between the Old and the New Testament, there arose a Syrian king who decided that he would wipe out the worship of Jehovah. Antiochus Epiphanes. He lives today in history books. He is celebrated more because of the opposition of godly men and their faithful stand for God than for anything he himself ever accomplished. But this man arose to wipe out forever the cause of God and the cause of truth. Antiochus came, and he went, and the cause of God marched on. It has ever been that way, right throughout history. And it will be to the end of time. That is good to know that when men have done their worst, and devils have done their worst, and the furies of hell have gone as far as an all-wise God will ever allow them, after it all, the final chapter has already been written, and Christ is conqueror. We ought never to lose sight of that. We ought to get out of the Church of Christ and out of the hearts of the people of God and out of all our service every taint of a defeated attitude. We ought to get out of our hearts and out of our lives every thought of the fear of man and of the fear of devils and of the fear of the opposition, because we should have it written large and clear on our heart that men will come and they will go, but when all is said and done, our God will go marching on, and his cause will have ultimate success. After Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola. Who on earth is Tola? And after him there arose Jair, beside whom Tola was a world-renowned figure. In many ways, a strange portion of Scripture to read and to take for a Sabbath evening meditation. But as I thought of it, I recognized that here is a very brief passage with a tremendous encouragement for ordinary Christians. The most of us have to fall into that category. If you were to die today, America would never know that you'd ever been here. You've often heard the old saying, you put your fist in a bucket of water and pull it out and you'll see the hole you leave. That's the kind of a hole you'll leave behind you as far as the world's concerned when you're dead and gone. We're just the ordinary. Nothing great, nothing outstanding. The devil then would take the next step of logic and say, therefore, nothing important. But this is a passage of Scripture with a tremendous encouragement for all the very, very ordinary people in the Church of Christ, amid all the stirring biographies of the great men and indeed women, the mighty people of the book of Judges. We think of an Othniel, a man of immense courage, a man of military might, a man who could lead men, a giant among men. We think even of an Ehud, a man who, by personal courage, could go in the name of the Lord right into the presence of the most mighty dictator on the earth and bring him down by the hand of justice and announce the judgment of God. Then go out and blow the trumpet for the whole nation of Israel. What a man! We think of Deborah, a mother in Israel, and as great a spiritual giant as any we find in this book. A Gideon, who proved God and saw God rend the heavens and come down in his behalf. And then we come even to Abimelech, that self-proclaimed king, that man who, whatever his wickedness and his evil, was yet a man of magnetic personality, a man who could motivate an entire people, a man who could grasp political and military power in his fist and be determined not to let it go, a man who could stamp his will upon the will of a nation. And amidst all these, we have Tola and Jair. Ordinary people. Very significant that they come in where they do after Abimelech, as I'll show you in a moment. The point about them is that their ordinariness did not disqualify them from service. The point about them is that they were God's men at a specific time. And Tola in his place was just as much God's man as Gideon had been in his place and in his day. Now, I don't think there's any evidence that these men ever reached the heights of spiritual or national greatness that Gideon reached. But nonetheless, they were God's men in that day for the work of God. They didn't do the great exploits of others. But together, There's some dispute among scholars over this particular detail, but together they brought a number of years of rest and peace to Israel. If you add up their numbers, 23 years and 22 years respectively, you get 45 years of peace. Actually, in the dating of the book of Judges, they may well have overlapped in two different places for quite a lot of that time. But we leave that to the scholars to work out. There's nothing deader or drier in most instances than figures and numbers and working over musty dates, unless there's something very critical at the end of it. We're going to leave it for the moment. Either about a quarter, between a quarter and a half a century of rest they brought to the people of Israel. So I want us to think on them tonight, very simply, and focus our attention upon the great ministry of little men. Now, we're going to focus first on their smallness, their insignificance. As I pointed out, they're virtually unknown. And true, the name Tola and Pua are names that were hereditary in the tribe of Issachar. They were famous family names, but this particular Tola and the son of this particular Pua, unknown. Not only so, but even in the book of Judges, there is very little record of their period of office. We're told very, very little about not only who they were, but what they actually did for 23 years and 22 years respectively. But the big thing is that after Abimelech, God raised them up. Now watch it carefully. The Lord is teaching us here a very significant lesson through very insignificant men. Later in the book of Zechariah, he would have it penned. It is not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is a cardinal doctrine of God's word that the greatness of the work of God depends not upon the greatness of man, but upon the greatness of our God. We tend to look for great men. We study history, and I think that is a very scriptural thing to do. The Bible is forever reminding the people of God of their history. I have no time for people who isolate themselves in the bubble of this present moment and want to forget what is past and take no thought of what is to come in the work of God. This moment does not exist in isolation. The great theological term is that we are just part of a great continuum. I hope that sounds good to you. I'm not going to try and explain it. I leave that to the scholars. But it is a mark of weakness and apostasy ultimately. Not apostasy for every individual Christian, that would be too much to say. But ultimately it is a mark of apostasy in the church. When a church isolates itself, you look at every cult. That cult suddenly, as it thinks, falls like a star from heaven onto earth. That cult has in itself all the truth, all the light, all the revelation of God. That cult is God's answer, and it has nothing to do with what went before. It suddenly appears in history, and it has no thought of anything preceding it. When any movement or any church starts talking like that, you know that you're dealing with something that is not of God. It's very simple. God tells us that we do have to go back to our history. He continually reminded the children of Israel of that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.